If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
It is critical to know who your partner is, and for a lot of people, that means partnering with one person or having the same GP team every time, and I completely understand that way of doing it. You can't partner with somebody you don't know.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Daniel Homland received his degree in computer and electrical engineering from the University of California at Davis. He now works at Intel Corporation as a software developer and Intel community manager. He runs the Real Estate Investment Club at Intel, which as of June 2020 has over 700 active members. He has invested in a total of 907 apartment units, 635 of which he has been a general partner. Daniel, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Man, it's awesome to interview you. One, I've had the pleasure of being interviewed by you, and now I get to do it in reverse. So I'm super excited to have you on the show. I want to hear the brief story of, you know, what you're investing in now, where you started, and how you got there.
Sure. So right now, I have a company called Alon Capital. Part of that is our network, which is the Wynn Multifamily Network. And I got started in that several years ago, basically as a mechanism for investing in multifamily properties. And we've been growing our network and growing the people that we work with that, you know, sometimes they invest with us, sometimes they're just learning from the group and investing on their own. But we've spent a couple of years building a network that can enable people and give people a safe place to learn and to do deals in multifamily. That's what I've been up to.
Gotcha. Now, did you originally have any other investment or real estate investments, or did you go straight into multifamily?
So I think that real estate has honestly always been in my blood. My earliest experience with it was my grandparents. When I was 10 years old, my grandparents passed away. During that time, we had to figure out what are we doing with their property, with their estate. They had a 120-unit apartment complex in Aurora, Illinois. One of the things that started to really stick out to me was my grandfather worked at International Harvester. He was a mechanic for farm equipment, and he worked at that job his entire career until 60, 65-ish. I don't know exactly when he retired, but retirement age. And at that point, when he retired, my grandmother said to him, you know, let's partner with your brother-in-law and go buy this apartment complex. And the thing that stuck out to me is that he worked his entire life at that job and didn't really create anything that was passed down in his family. And then once they acquired that apartment complex, once he retired, that's when he actually started making, you know, a significant amount of income. And for me as a 10-year-old, I was watching my parents grapple with this problem. You know, right. They had an apartment complex. They didn't know what to do with it. They ended up selling it. There were a lot of inheritance tax issues and a lot of things that could have gone a lot smoother. You know, kind of from that time and also just in my family, we've always been real estate oriented. So I was into single family homes when I came out of college. I bought a couple of those. I lived overseas for a little while doing volunteer work in France. And I did hard money loans to rehabbers for a couple of years. Then more recently in this last decade, real estate syndications with the 2012 Tax Act have become very popular. And the legal groundwork was laid then for that to become a great way to invest. And so we've been investing since around 2016-ish.
Gotcha. So you guys are now investing exclusively then in multifamily?
Yeah. And on a personal note, and this isn't for everyone, but I'm in the process of converting my stock portfolio to real estate because I can make better forward-looking predictions with real estate than I can with stocks. And if I'm going to retire, I have to look forward and make projections of what I'm going to have.
Right. So you are liquidating your stock holdings.
Yep.
That's interesting. And tell us what you do in your day job, because you still hold a full-time job.
I do. I work at Intel. I am a part of the Internet of Things group at Intel. Specifically, I work with computer vision systems and artificial intelligence in industrial applications. So we install computer equipment in factories that will do defect detection or safety, you know, to make sure workers are staying within a safe zone or detective equipment is malfunctioning. So we create computer vision systems to help factories run better.
That's fantastic. Now, it sounds like that job that you have is more in line with what you love to do. Not more in line, but it's part of what you love to do, even mm-hmm. though you have a very successful real estate portfolio.
You know, there's more crossover than you might think. In my particular job, I was a software developer for 12, 13 years. And then at some point, I actually got into teaching software development. And I'm part of Intel's event staff. And so we coordinate, and we'll usually bring like 100 developers into the room, put a piece of hardware in front of them and teach them how to use it. And what I realized is that process of talking with very smart people, very technically advanced people, is very similar to talking to investors. Mm. There are very sophisticated investors out there who know what they're doing, and you have to be able to talk to them. You have to communicate what you're doing, and you have to be able to do that in a friendly way for complex topics.
Right. Okay. So you're investing in multifamily. You work a full-time job. It sounds like you have very little time. I think maybe you mentioned that doing both of these at the same time now means you have to schedule lunch with your family.
Yeah. We got to end this podcast on time because I scheduled lunch with my family.
Man, I understand that wearing multiple hats is not for the faint of heart. That's for sure. Tell us about how you guys find, how you fund, and how you guys take down deals. How does that work?
Sure. And let me back up a little bit here. I do my real estate investing so that I can create time to be with my family.
Sure.
It's something I can do at home. And it's something that I believe over a couple year time horizon of helping other people invest in real estate, investing in real estate myself, that I'll eventually get to the point where I can stop my job, even though I love it, and spend more time with my family. So my motivation is really my family. In terms of acquisitions, one of the things I've learned is that, particularly when I was doing single family homes, a person can do that by themselves with no problem. Frankly, there's very little personal growth, or at least it's not forced in the same way that being in a multifamily team forces it. Multifamily requires a team. It's a team sport. You need to have people that are talking to brokers. You need to have people that know the loan officers. You need to have people that are talking to property managers. You've got your asset manager. You have people that raise capital, do due diligence. There are all these different teams, do the marketing and social media for your firm. So there's a lot of opportunity for people with very different talents and personalities to come together into a team. And first of all, I love that because, you know, it's the concept of as iron sharpens iron. So, you know, one person sharpens another. You've got a team, they're holding you accountable, and you've got a framework that you all understand and agree upon, and you execute together. And I love meeting people, which you do a lot of in this business. There's a lot of networking.
Right.
And just meeting impressive people who are constantly focused on self-improvement. So right. In order to find properties, that's what we do. Since I have a day job, I don't do any broker relationships whatsoever. I partner with people who do. And they find the deals. And I assume also, and I do my due diligence, of course, that they know the property managers and the renovation crew and can execute in that respect there. So I tend to do more due diligence, loan guaranteeing, working with investors, and then, of course, attending the asset management calls throughout the life cycle of the property. And I personally, my role is to write up the investor newsletters once a month and send them out just so we keep everybody up to date on what we're doing.
Right. And so are you with your team? Is it always the same team members at this point as you take down future deals? Or does this general partnership, if you will, tend to shift with each deal?
So right now, I am in the Think Multifamily Group, which is a group, you can look them up, thinkmultifamily.com. It's headed by Mark and Tamil Kenny. And there's about, you know, a little over 100 investors that are in that group. And I tend to partner within that group and then also partner, you know, with people that are in my own network, the Wynn Multifamily Network. So we teach and get people on board there as well. Those two areas. And what I've realized is that it is critical to know who your partner is. And for a lot of people, that means partnering with one person or having the same GP team every time. And I completely understand that way of doing it. You can't partner with somebody you don't know and know intimately for a long period of time. And in the case of our networks, we've got smaller, tight-knit networks where everybody shares a common philosophy. And so you can vet people within that network and change the GP team to some extent. And so that's given me an advantage in my investing because not all the people in the network are in the same location. So I've got a, you know, I've got a 122 unit property in Houston, a 196 unit property in Houston, a 172 unit in Memphis, Tennessee, 145 units in Fort Smith, and we're working right now on a 200 unit in Montgomery, Alabama. And it's only by keeping a close-knit group of people that I know and trust, and then, you know, working with different groups there, that you can get that sort of geographic diversity and have the confidence level to execute.
Right. No, that's key. That's key. That's interesting. And maybe we don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I'm just curious. It sounds like you guys are really focusing on more tertiary markets and not necessarily, yep, other than, of course, Houston. I mean, that's a, yep, that's a big market. But
Houston's a big market. We did those deals about 2 to 3 years ago and haven't really been in that market since.
Okay.
It's a very competitive market. Prices there are sky high. Cap rates are extremely, you know, they're down and compressed.
Right. I gotcha. Okay. So that's really interesting, you know, because like you said, you know, most people don't want to partner with someone they don't know or haven't had shouldn't. I mean, that can ruin the best of deals. You'd have a great deal and a terrible partnership, and you've got nothing but a terrible deal and a terrible partnership in the end. So you're using really, this is the key, is you're using your network of other people that have worked alongside each other and says, hey, this the kind of the group think almost, which most of us don't like group think, but almost group think as you vet each other and say, hey man, you know, I've worked with person X, Y, and Z on multiple projects and this is great. And I mean, is that kind of a fair summary?
Yeah, I would say it's less groupthink because there's a lot of diversity within the group, but it's more common philosophy.
Right.
Common idea of the types of properties we're going after, you know, how we add value to the properties and just, sure, being on board with the same ideas. It's really key.
Right. Yeah. And groupthink's probably the wrong word for that, but, you know, tomato, tomato. I understand. Tell us about what you have done with your investor club at Intel.
I run the Real Estate Investment Education Club at Intel. And Intel's got a lot of, you know, employee resource organizations, ERGs. And they do everything from, there's an Intel choir, there's Intel hiking groups, there's Intel, like, there's communities for different ethnic groups. There's the Indian group, the Jewish group, et cetera, like that. So there's all sorts of organizations, and Intel's very supportive of employees having a great work-life balance.
Right.
In our particular case, there was a stock investment club and the startup investment club, you know, two areas that high-tech people tend to be in.
Sure.
And there wasn't a real estate club. So I went to HR and said, hey, you've got a stock club, you've got a startup club, I want to run the real estate club. And we've been bringing in guest speakers to speak every single Friday, noon Pacific, all year. We just did our 44th event this year.
That's fantastic. So if you're listening to this and you work in a large corporation and there's no real estate investing club, you need to go to Daniel and get his blueprint for how to successfully launch one. How many members typically show up on your weekly calls?
We've been averaging in between 160 to 200 on a given Friday. We've got our club list that we send events notifications out to is a little over 1,000 now.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. Are you allowed, does Intel allow you to share any of your deals with that club?
No, absolutely not. There's no advertising, no sales pitches. It's purely educational. And that can be tricky because, you know, right, I talk about multifamily and I love it. And people, right, hear that, and then they have to approach me if they want to find out more about the types of deals that, you know, we like to partner with people on.
Sure, right. That's fine. Yeah. I would assume that that's a pretty open door, though, at that point, yep, when you're the resident expert in a particular niche asset class.
Right. And you make yourself available. You just say, hey, I've got office hours. You know, come ask me any questions. Let's hold a discussion group. The more we can help people, the more that they're willing to, you know, listen to you.
Right, man, that's awesome. So what does the future hold for you? Like, what's the next iteration of your business?
For one thing, in my particular business, I'm starting to look at some areas that are not in the Southeast. I'm looking at some of the Rocky Mountain cities like Boise and Denver and Salt Lake. I know that there's been a lot of activity in those areas, and, you know, it's a good market to be in. So I'm going to put a little more emphasis there. I'm continuing to partner with people that are in the Think Multifamily group. I'm continuing to build my own network, the Win Multifamily Network. You know, you can go to winmultifamily.com in order to find out more about that. And we're going to keep buying properties right now, even though we're in the midst of COVID. Recent activity has picked up tremendously. And there are a lot of lending obstacles. The lenders have definitely clamped down quite a bit.
Right.
There are things that you have to navigate in the lending world and elsewhere in order to do deals in this environment.
Right.
But I think that there's a fair amount of price discovery to be done. Buyers tend to be offering at one price and sellers are offering another. There's a lot of uncertainty in the market, and uncertainty means that you can go to somebody and, you know, negotiate a deal. You know, one person thinks a property is worth this amount, you think it's worth this amount, and price discovery is, it's got a little wider door right now because of the uncertainty in the market. Having said that, there's lots of money moving into the multifamily space from retail real estate, which is not doing very well, from office real estate, from other types of real estate. And so in multifamily, we're actually seeing, you know, and there's no crystal ball, but right now what we're seeing is cap rates are continuing to compress.
Right.
A lot of money has been injected into the system by the Fed, and that's causing stocks and real estate prices to go up a lot. It's still a good time, and it's really more about finding the right sponsor to work with and finding the market and the deal. And if you can find a deal that makes sense in that market, the value add and the renovation that you put into it determines how good your investment is. So we always try to make a business plan that minimizes market risk and maximizes the value that we get by executing the business plan. That way, by executing your business plan, you can get a good return for investors.
Right. And you're doing your own syndications at this point, not just partnering people in Think Multifamily or the Wynn Multifamily Group, or you bringing in private investors on your own as well?
Yeah, we do bring in private investors. If you're interested in, you know, joining our investor list, go to WynnMultifamily.com and sign up for the investors list. I'll give you a short call just to get to know you and what your goals are and whether you're looking for income or appreciation or just getting to know you. I like to maintain personal relationships with people. And then we are continuing to focus on value add deals. So, yeah.
Right. You've done pretty great things here in a very short amount of time. And I look forward to putting all your information in the show notes. People can connect with you. The final four questions are this. And I'm excited about asking this question because of your, you know, vast experience both in the professional world and now in the multifamily space. If you had to take everything you know and distill it down to one piece of advice to and you're giving this advice to an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Become educated and surround yourself with people that are more educated than you.
That's awesome. Put other people smarter than you around. I want to be the dumbest guy in the room always.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you know, there are people that do this full time and have a wealth of experience. That's one of the great things about this business. There are great people to talk to in this business.
That's absolutely true. Secondly, what's one thing that you're doing to stay on top of your game?
One thing that I'm doing to stay on top of my game is that, you know, honestly, right now, it's just going through and calling everybody in my investor list. I'm keeping my investor list warm. And I had cold feet about calling people because I was relying too much on email and not getting necessarily a great email response. And so I decided just to pick up the phone and call each person and, you know, say hi and say, hey, where are you at? Are you interested in doing deals? What's life like right now? I heard about a couple of people on my investor list. They had a baby recently. One person's buying a dental practice. All these interesting stories that put a picture together and help you understand, you know, that you're serving people. So connecting with people on my investor list has been one thing that's been really pivotal recently.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And, you know, I think it's especially early on as somebody's looking to scale, that's one of the things that we commonly fear. Like, yeah. Oh, crud, if I made this call and they're just like, no, like you're just deathly afraid of that. But no, I think what the advice you've just given is great. Okay. Thirdly, what is one thing that you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Right now, we're supporting the Remembered New organization. It's an organization that helps people with Southeast Asian sex trafficking. So their motto is they work on prevention, not intervention. So they're trying to go into communities and build communities that are resistant to a lot of the terrible practices that are going on.
Right, man.
And we support them as a business. Our business gives to that organization out of every transaction that we do.
That's awesome. Good for you. That's great. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
You can get in touch with me by going to WynnMultifamily.com, or my email address is Daniel, Homlund, H-O-L-M-L-U-N-D, at Alon Capital. It's A-A-L-O-N capital.com.
Daniel, thanks for coming on today. It was such a pleasure to interview you and have you as a guest. I look forward to doing it again here in the near future.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.